That was that was the theme song to Bad Boys, because in the studio today, live here in Hamilton Hill on Mother's Day, don't know how he got away from his domestic duties, but he's here, we appreciate it, none other than Troy Bad Boy Lowry. Troy, good morning to you.
G'day, Pete, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. The bad boy bit obviously lets us know that you were planning, you made the decision that you're going to do some boxing. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%, Pete. Firstly, with regards to the domestic duties, I had to do a deal with the devil to get out today, so I'd like to thank you for that.
Greatly appreciated.
So, I made the decision about 15 weeks ago to take part in the RQCC, which is a Royal Queensbury Corporate Championship, which is a boxing event for corporates held at held last Friday night at the Crown Towers in Perth. So it was an awesome event, well attended. Well played by all who were involved, and a good result for the charity that we support.
So it was the 10th year of the event, put together by Troy and Sophia Barbagallo, who do wonderful things in the corporate entertainment world. This is the 10th year, right, for the event?
Yeah, 100%.
Bigger and bolder than ever, 1,300-odd people attended.
Yeah, 13. I think at the final number, Pete, was just over the 1,400 mark. I don't think there were too many empty seats in the house, which was fantastic. And it was a bit of a rubberneck fest for most of the men that attended, because there was beautiful women, glamorous women, and well-dressed women everywhere. And I'm sure for the women, it was probably a rubberneck session watching some of those well-chiseled and good-looking boxers up on the stage fighting it out during the evening, Pete.
So the concept is there's 10 bouts, as I understand it, of 10 corporates, or 20 corporates, who go head-to-head against each other, ranging from men and women, ranging from all abilities. So tell us about yourself. Have you ever boxed?
Not in the ring, Pete. Probably as a young fella, I enjoyed a scuffle, but I've never been trained specifically to utilise the way that boxing, you know, should be treated. Boxing's fairly regimented sport, and contrary to what people believe, Pete, it's not as easy as what you'd think. And for every move, there's a counter move. You've got to be extremely fit. You've got to be thinking all the time. You've got to preempt your opponent's moves. Never done it previously. It was the first time, and it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life in terms of mental fitness, physical fitness, and being on time when I needed to be on time, and being at the gym 15 minutes beforehand and staying there afterwards to maintain my fitness and to try and get an edge over my opponent, Pete.
So, without telling our listeners too much, I think you're on the other side of 30.
Probably on the other side of 40 at the moment, Pete.
Oh, there you go. Looking pretty good after a few weeks of boxing training. On the other side of 40, so you woke up one day and you said, I'm going to have a crack.
Yeah. It was one of those things, Pete, that Troy Barbagallo had sent out an email to his intensive email marketing list, I imagine, and it basically said, this is going to be the biggest and the best version of the RQCC. And I sat down and pondered for a couple of minutes and thought, you know, I really want to do this. And the reasons were purely selfish to start with, Pete. They were 100% purely selfish. I wanted to get fit for myself. I wanted to look good, and I wanted to develop a skill set that I'd never had previously. And I wanted to prove that on the wrong side of 40, you know, you could still do something that you wanted to achieve. And in saying that, there was a couple of guys on the wrong side of 50. So, I felt fairly humbled when I first went there and started training with these guys.
So what did training to get ready for this fight actually entail? How long ago did you get going?
Yeah, so 12 weeks ago, Pete.
Right.
And it started off with your standard, this is what boxing is. This is how to throw a punch. This is how to move forward. This is how to move back. Sometimes you need to go sideways. Sometimes you need to duck. So we learned all of that. And those things are good if you don't want to get hit. And sometimes getting hit hurts, so you'd prefer to do the hard work up front and learn how to evade a punch rather than take one. With that, I guess, the hardest thing was the cardio and the intensiveness of the regime. The first few weeks are easy, and then after that, Pete, it became tough. It became really tough, you know. Every day of the week, bar Sunday, morning sessions, evening sessions. And then if you wanted to get serious, you had to do it two or three times a day just to make sure that you had one up on your opponent.
So your sessions were all coordinated by the coach primarily, or the boxing outfit?
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a different scenario because there were initially somewhere between 25 to 30 of us, Pete, that started the journey. And obviously over time that number whittled down because of A, boxing matchups.
Yep.
Would someone be the right height and the right weight, yep, and they have the right ability to fight somebody else? And then we trained with everybody as a group, which was completely different because you became friends. You had a huge amount of respect and admiration for the people that you were potentially fighting. And the scariest thing was you got to meet the guy or the girl that you were going to fight, and you got to know them intimately. And that's pretty scary because you develop a huge amount of respect and admiration for that person. And I think the hardest thing in the world then is to get out there and want to knock them down and try and win a fight, which I think is the beauty of this tournament, is that you get to meet them, you get to train with them, you become really good mates with them, you get in the ring, and it doesn't matter who wins or loses because the ultimate winner, and I hate to cliche, the ultimate winner in this case is the charity and the people that it supports.
So we're talking with Troy Bad Boy Lowry, who put himself up to be in the corporate Royal Queensbury, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Championship.
That's one.
The boxing event, which was held just this Friday gone. We're talking about how his training regime and how he got involved. So once it was decided you were going to fight somebody,
yep,
when was that announced and who was it?
Yeah, okay. So there was a lot of cloak and dagger and smoke and mirrors, Pete, with that, and they never wanted to tell you too early who you're fighting, which is fair. And I think I had three opponents that I was due to fight every week for about the last 4 weeks of training. So we ended up having a group dinner, Pete, where we sat down and some of the matchups were announced, not all the matchups were announced. And on that particular night, I was due to fight a fella called Mike Hansen. And Mike and I had a friendship at that particular time. And he probably want to hear me say this, and I don't want to say this, but he was probably the guy that I didn't want to fight because he's probably the guy that I thought could take me down. Anyway, a few things happened within the game. And that ended up changing to a fella called Bernard Rourke. And Bernard, as he's well known as the Iron Man, Bernard's fought a few times. He's had a couple of wins in the RQCC. And he was to be my ultimate opponent on Friday night.
And size-wise?
Yeah, pretty much the same weight, Pete. Right. He was probably a touch taller and he had longer arms. And we're about the same age. So it was probably an apt fight had it actually occurred, Pete.
That's it. So that gets us to the next point. Things didn't actually go to plan. What actually happened?
So, 10 weeks into the 12-week regime, actually 10 and a half weeks into the 12-week regime, I was actually sparring Bernard in the ring. The last few weeks entailed copious amounts of sparring with your partner, so that you could understand how they fought, which obviously would be an advantage to either of you, but B, also to try things you may not think... or you may think could work, and if they worked, you put them back in the saddlebag, and you were going to bring them out on the night. On this Saturday, I was sparring with Bernard, and we were into our second round, about halfway through, Pete, and I threw a left hook.
Yep,
it was good enough to connect. The unfortunate thing was at that particular time, in layman's terms, I blew my bicep off my elbow, otherwise known as a distal bicep rupture, where my bicep decides to leave the comfort of the elbow joint and ends up halfway up the arm.
And that required a little bit of internal negotiating by some surgeons to put your bicep back down, screw it back to your forearm.
100% right. It was one of those things when I did it. It's called a Popeye, and the reason it's called a Popeye is because your bicep, instead of stretching along the length of the arm, has a big mound right in the middle. So it looks like, from a bodybuilding point of view, it looked quite impressive. I mean, it looked like the bicep profile was significantly better than it was. I was operated on, and I'll thank my surgeon, Dr. Paul Jarrett. He wouldn't be listening right now, but if he is, thanks. Quick surgery, endoscopic intrusion through the bottom of the elbow. They go up, find the bicep tendons, pull both of them back down, screw them into a screw, and then screw the screw into my arm, and so my bicep's a touch longer than it was now, and the lateral movement and the strength skills are pretty bad, Pete.
So the long and the short of it is you're feeling a lot fitter.
Yeah.
You've grown some hair.
Yeah,
you're
I
looking
have.
A bit clearer of eyes.
Yes,
but,
I am.
But you're convalescing with a left arm that probably going to take about 6 months of rehab.
Yeah, 100%, Pete. They say that 6 months I should be 100% back to normal. Timing's pretty good because about 3 months after that, I need to start training again, I think.
And Bernard Rock, what happened to him? Did he get a fight?
No, he didn't. So our 10-bout event became a 9-bout event.
All right.
Yeah. So I think Bernard was pretty happy because he was on the table next to me, and the only thing that was doing him any damage that night was the Maui.
Yeah, fair enough. So you went to the night Friday night. How was it?
It blew me away, Pete. It was better than I expected. I'd never been to one before. You know, I'd seen pictures on the net, and obviously Facebook's a fantastic place to find information nowadays, so you always look back and see how the night went. But it was at the Crown Towers, so probably the best place to hold an event like this in Perth. And as I said, 1,400 people, an elevated boxing ring, great music, awesome food, plenty of amber fluids flowing through the night. And it was just a great evening. I'd use the word epic. It was epic.
So I know you're going to want to tell me that they were all good bouts, yep. But I'm not going to buy that.
Sure.
What was the best bout of the night?
Oh, okay. So as I said, there were 9 fights, and there were probably 2 or 3 that really stood out. So I actually made a little list for myself because I thought you might ask me something like this, Pete. So the heavyweight fight was a ripper. The last fight of the night between the two biggest boys in the team. So Joseph Molino, the magician, and Justin Warburton. They went hard. And
a wog and a skip?
Yeah.
Actually, I reckon the skip got up.
No, I reckon you're wrong.
Oh,
no, the wog. Joey the magician got up in this one. But, you know, it was one of those fights where everybody thought that the other bloke had won. So some people thought the blue corner of Justin, and some people thought the red. And I'll tell you what, I think it was unanimous. It didn't feel unanimous. It was a pretty tough fight.
What about the Zell? How'd he go?
Zell Bassett. You'd know Zell from years
he's just down the road here. He's got his little... Well, he used to have a dance studio.
Yeah, Zell was the oldest guy in
DJ
the...
DJ to the stars.
Yeah, Zell... Zell's a superstar. He
sometime listener of Sport FM. How are you, Zell?
I tell you what, he's a sometimes practitioner of of boxing as well. I think I saw him in there 6 times over the 12 weeks, so he must have been training and hiding. But Zell was awesome. Zell had a win. He was the first fighter of the night.
Okay.
And for a bloke who's 52, he swung his arms and he did well. And he looked really strong. Looked really strong.
So this year's Royal Queensbury Challenge had an unbelievable twist to it, didn't it? There's the unfortunate death of Ben Beale, who was going to be one of the fighters.
Yeah.
So they would have obviously done a tribute to him.
They did, Pete. Let me first start by saying that I knew Ben for 9 of the 10 weeks that I was training, and, you know, 9 of the 12 weeks in total that we were supposed to be there. And he was my mitts partner. So when we'd go to training and we'd do some mitts training, he would hold the mitts for me, I'd hold the mitts for him. And he was a gentle giant, and he was loved by everybody. But those who may not know, Ben passed away on the 24th of April, so the day before Anzac Day, down south with his family doing what he loved, running along the beach, and he had a heart attack. We found out on the 24th that night when we went to training. Troy Barbagallo ensured that we were there. He wanted us to be there to tell us. So that night we didn't train. In fact, we sat there and just enjoyed each other's company and talked about, you know, the wonderful person that Ben was, and what he meant to all of us. On the 25th, we then decided to do an Anzac Day tribute for Ben. Ben was a staunch patriotic Australian, so he actually wanted us as a group to do Anzac Day. So Troy Barbagallo organised a bus for us, and we jumped on the bus and went up to Kings Park, and as a group did the Anzac Day tribute for him, which was fantastic. On the Tuesday or the Wednesday before the fight, Ben's family had the memorial at Crown Towers, so we're all part of that. And it was really interesting, Pete, because we're in the same room that we're going to be boxing in, you know, 3 days later. So somehow we ended up being there anyway, even though he couldn't be. And then on the evening, Pete, probably the best thing that was organised by the Pink Tank Crew, which was the group behind the event, was that they substituted this logo that's on my shirt, the RQCC logo, and substituted it for the Aquaman logo, which was Ben's fighting name. So he was Ben Aquaman Beale, And for those that don't know why he was Aquaman, he's actually the one of the directors of Aquatechnics, mm-hmm. Aquatic Leisure Technologies, who are probably the largest manufacturer of pools here in WA. So it's actually pretty hard for me to talk about him, Pete.
Yeah, no, so it was I had friends who went to the event. They said the tribute was done very, very tastefully. Yep. The family would have greatly appreciated it. But it just goes to show, though, that, you know, these things happen to all sorts of people along the way.
Yep.
And but the fact that he had support and camaraderie from those he trained with probably was, you know, if you have to find a time to go out, that's probably a reason or a way to do it.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of weight leading up to that, didn't he?
Yeah, 10 kilos, Pete. Mm. I mean, I started training and he was at probably, he was probably touching 100 Ks. And, you know, within 9 weeks, he was down to 90. So he'd, you know, taken 10% of his body weight off and he was looking great.
All right, so that gets us to the biggest decision. You've probably already alluded to it. I think you're a lunatic, but next year, are you going to go?
Well, being a lunatic, Pete, something you and I know I am. So, I think so. The only thing that would stop me would be the uncanny thought that the same thing or something similar could occur a couple of weeks out from the fight, because the one thing that dampened the whole evening for me was not being a part of it. But watching it probably made up for that significantly. So will I do it? Yeah, I probably will. I think I'll go through another 12 weeks of training. But I think in the meantime, I'll just continue boxing at the Hurt Locker with the guys and, yeah, with the trainers there. And I'd just like to thank those guys. So I'd like to thank Joe Capolina, Craig Wilson, Dalen and Bodie for helping me along the way and turning me into a talker about fighting into a person who could probably do it okay. Never going to be great, Pete, but 12 weeks is never going to make you a champion. It's only going to make you okay. I think that I'm going to go back to one of your first questions, if I could, which talked about why did I do it? And I told you about the fact that it was purely selfish. That changed probably a couple of weeks into it. And, you know, I realised what the RQCC actually meant. And if I can give you three examples, that'd be fantastic. So within our fighting community of 25 people, there were three people that actually had legitimate reasons to fight and reasons that make it worthwhile for everybody. So one of the ladies, Maria Goss, she's got two children with Fragile X syndrome, which is a type of autism and means that your children have some sort of genetic intellectual disability. So she was fighting for them. Obviously, we had Ben Beale, not because Ben passed away, but because Ben was fighting for his son, Mitch, who was a Ward 3B patient at PMH. Mm-hmm. So he had a sarcoma. And Mitch is 19 today, and pardon the pun, he's fighting fit. And then Leonie Wilson, who's the wife of one of the trainers, Craig, she actually had a daughter, Jade, who'd recently had a brain tumour removed. So if I'm going to do it, those are the reasons I'm going to do it for.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful sentiment there. And, I mean, I think that's what ends up happening to most of the people that get in there. Sport's like that. We all start playing sport for ourselves and we ultimately find there's a greater cause for it. And the better ones are the ones who don't do it for themselves. They do it for a passionate reason. So Troy, bad boy, not so bad boy Lowry anymore. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing your story with us. If any of you are out there and you get inspired by this, you want to get involved, I think if you go to Pink Tank Events, they'd have a website. I'm sure you could get yourself lined up for next year. If you go into the boxing ring at Hurt Locker, you see some middle-aged bloke there just doing right jabs because his left can't work. That's Troy, keeping his training up now. Let's take a sponsor break.